Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3 called Status Quo, Chapter 14 called Pregnancy of Dithi in the Evening, Text 43. Na Brahma Danda Dagdasya, Na Bhuta Bayadasya Cha, Narakas chanugrin anti yam yam yonim asagataha na brahma danda dagdasya. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I'll read first and then we do read in response. A person who is condemned by Brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities is not favored either by those who are already in hell or by those in the species in which he is born. Repeat. A person who is condemned by a Brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities is not favored either by those who are already in hell or by those in the species in which he is born. Purport. A practical example of a condemned species of life is the dog. Dogs are so condemned that they never show any sympathy to their contemporaries. It's a very short purport. So I'm going to read texts 44 and 45 as well. Those who have got their devices, you can repeat after me as I go line by line. Yeah? Kashyapa uvacha krita shokanu tapena satya pratyava marchanat Bhagavati Urumanaccha Bhave Mai Api Chadara Putrasyaiva Cha Putranam Bhavitaikaha Satam Mataha Gashyanti Yad Yashaha Suddham Bhagavad Yashasha Samam. Translation. The learned Kashyapa said, because of your lamentation, penitence and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord. And his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. Now this has got no purport, so we go to the next text, text 46. Again, repeat after me. Yogai himeva durvarnam Baba yishyanti sadavaha Nirvairadibir atmanam Yachilam anuvartitum. Translation. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Purport. Yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways. Yet, after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. Om Agyana Timirandasya Janjana Chalakaya Chakshur Urmitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Nanda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. A few verses here. Now, before we even go into the Bhagavatam, today is the disappearance day of three very exalted personalities. Who are they? One is Raghunath Das Goswami. Second is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And the third person is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So I think it's only proper that we take a few minutes before Bhagavatam class to try and glorify them by reading something about them. And whatever remaining time we'll focus on the Bhagavatam for today. And because of them, because of our acharyas, we have got the blessings to be here today. So it is only proper that we try to remember them on days like this. In fact, Srila Prabhupada had this to say about the disappearance of Vaishnavas. He said, as Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are all spiritual, transcendental, they are not ordinary things. Similarly, Lord Krishna's devotee, his representative, who is sent to this material world for preaching the glories of Lord Krishna, their appearance and disappearance is also like Krishna's. Therefore, according to Vaishnava principles, the appearance and disappearance of Vaishnava is considered all auspicious. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he wrote a short stanza about the influence that a Vaishnava carries in this world even after his passing. Beautiful short stanza. It just, if you meditate on that, it's very powerful. It hits home. He says, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. Powerful. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art still living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. And Prabhupada said this too. Prabhupada said what? I will never die. I will live forever in my books. Okay? And he said the same thing to remember his spiritual master. Prabhupada said, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So, we'll start with remembering a little bit about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Excuse me. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Born in a dynasty of Vaishnavas, Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son of a wealthy landowner. As a boy, he received Haridas Thakur's association and blessings. At 15, he met Lord Chaitanya. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he renounced a beautiful wife and an opulent family. He ran to Jagannath Puri to intimately serve Sri Gauraraya and his Shiksha Guru, Swarup Damodar Goswami, for 16 years. Lord Gauranga gave his personal Govardhan Shila in Gunjamala to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das couldn't live after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. So he came to Vrindavan to end his life by jumping off Govardhan Hill. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis affectionately received him. They convinced him to live on and enlighten all the Vrajavasi Vaishnavas with Sriman Mahaprabhu's Puri pastimes. For 3 hours a day, on the banks of Radhakun, he spoke about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das did Radha Krishna Bhajana at Radhakun for 40 years. He lived an austere life of pure devotion. Raghunath Das Goswami showed the standard of renunciation required to attain the eternal loving service of Radha Giridhari in the Nitya Nikunja at Radhakun. His perfect example enthuses all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to develop unalloyed pure love for Radha Krishna. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's daily bhajana included chanting 64 rounds japa, 100,000 holy names, doing manasi seva in his spiritual body, worshipping Govardhan Shila, bathing thrice in Radhakun, offering 1,000 obeisances to Krishna, offering 2,000 to Vaishnavas and embracing them, resting 90 minutes and some days not at all. Keep in mind, however, when an eternal associate of the Lord externally rests, internally he continues serving. He ate only one leaf cup, 100 grams of buttermilk daily. Throughout his life, he never ate anything for sense gratification. He took the bare minimum to keep body and soul together. It's said that after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, Raghunath Das ate only fruit and milk. After Sri Sanatan Goswami left, he existed on a leaf cup of buttermilk every day or two. And when Sri Rupa Goswami entered Nitya Leela, Raghunath gave up all eating and drinking. He was slowly burning in the fire of separation from the Lord and his loving servants. The Vrajavasis would cry upon seeing his weakened condition. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami wrote 3 books. Stavavalli contains Manashiksha, Vilapa Kusumajali, and more. Mukta Charita, Dana Keli Chintamani. In Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Raghunath Das Goswami showed the esoteric method of engaging oneself in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Raghunath Das wrote and taught that the divine service of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual perfection. For this, he was known as the Prayojana Acharya, the teacher who reveals the highest fulfillment in life. Raghunath Das Goswami clearly established the supremacy of Srimati Radharani. In Vilapa Kusumanjali, a collection of intimate prayers, he states that Sri Radha's service is the highest attainment. Feeling extreme impatience and hopelessness due to separation from the queen of his life, he desperately prays for Radharani's service in this following manner. My life is worthless. I will give it up without receiving your mercy. Living in Radhakun and Vrindavan is meaningless to me. To say nothing of Vrindavan, even Krishna himself is useless to me without you. O Srimati Radharani, you are the only object of my life. Please be merciful to me. Crying profusely in great lamentation, I hold your lotus feet to my heart and beg for your loving service. May this Vilapa Kusumanjali bring even the slightest satisfaction to you. Srila Raghunath Das serves Sri Radha as Rati Manjari in Sri Vrindavan Dham. His Samadhi is at Radhakund and in the 64 Samadhis area. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Now, we will glorify his disciple, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was born in 1496 in a Nadia family of physicians at the village of Jamatpur within the district of Bardhaman near Naihati. His father was Sri Bhagiratha and his mother was Sri Sunanda. He had a younger brother named Shyamadas. Now, Krishna Das Kaviraj left for Vrindavan after Lord Nityananda told him in a dream, "Are are Krishna Dasa na karaha bhaya Vrindavana naya tanha Vrindavana yaha tanha sarvalarya haya." "Oh my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things." Krishna Das took Diksha from Raghunath Das Goswami. He lived a renounced life at Shyamakund near Manasa Pavanagar, Radharani's midday bathing place. Sri Jiva Goswami, as per his custom of giving titles of honor to qualified devotees, gave Krishna Das the title Kaviraj, the king of poets, for his poetic masterpiece Govinda Lilamrita. Sri Narottama Das Thakur wrote in Prarthana, "Krishna Das Kaviraj, who composed the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the connoisseur among devotees. His Govinda Lilamrita moves stones to tears, but alas, my mind is not attracted to it." During Krishna Das's time, all the Vaishnavas would gather at Govindaji's temple in Vrindavan to hear Sri Haridas Pandit read Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The devotees were eager to hear about Lord Gauranga's later pastimes. So they asked Krishna Das Kaviraj to write them. Krishna Das prayed to Madan Mohan for ability and blessings. The deity's garland fell down, indicating divine sanction. And this is what, I'll read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is what Sri Krishna, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami himself said about this experience in writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We will hear about his mood, about his extreme humility as to how he approached this exercise of writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there were many other great devotees residing in Vrindavan, and this is him. This is Krishna Kaviraj Goswami himself writing this here. There were many other great devotees residing in Vrindavan who desired to hear the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By their mercy, all of these devotees requested me to describe these later pastimes. And it is only because of their order that I have shamelessly attempted to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Having received the order of the Vaishnavas, but being anxious at heart, I went to the temple of Madan Mohan to take his permission as well. As I entered the temple, the priest, Gosai Das, was serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And I also prayed at Madan Mohan's lotus feet. While I was thus praying, While I was thus praying for the Lord's permission, a garland from his neck fell down. And upon seeing this, all of the Vaishnavas present loudly shouted, "Hari Bol!" The pujari brought that garland and placed it around my neck. I was greatly pleased to receive the garland, signifying the order of the Lord, and without delay, I commenced writing this book. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing. It is the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. As a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I wrote as Madan Mohan ordered me to do so. I also took permission from Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur by praying at his lotus feet. And only upon receiving his order did I attempt to write this auspicious literature. Here's his humility. "I am foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. And yet, by the order of the Vaishnavas, I was greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. Now, so that my desires may be fulfilled, I place the lotus feet of these personalities upon my head. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya and their devotees, as well as Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my instructing spiritual master, and Srila Jiva Goswami. The mercy of their lotus feet is my spiritual master, and my words are my disciples that I have made dance in various ways in writing." Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. It invokes all good fortune and destroys everything inauspicious. If one tastes the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita with faith and love, I become like a bumblebee, tasting the honey of transcendental love from his lotus feet. Since this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is now complete, having been written for the satisfaction of the most opulent deities, Madan Mohanji and Govindaji, let it be offered at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev. Realized devotees are like bumblebees, maddened by their own mellows at Krishna's lotus feet. The scent of those lotus feet perfumes the entire world. Who is the realized soul that could give them up? In Vrindavan, in the year 1537, Shakabda era, in the month of Jaista, May to June, on Sunday, the fifth day of the waning moon, this Chaitanya Charitamrita has been completed. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki. A little bit about Srila Raghunath Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Lord Chaitanya was once in a place called Kashidham for about 10 days. There, he delivered mercy to all conditioned souls. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and his parents lived there in Kashidham and they served the Lord for the 10 days. After the 10 days, time came for the Lord to bid farewell to the devotees, so that he might once again set out for Jagannath Puri. All the devotees were heartbroken in agony at the prospect of separation from the Lord. Raghunath Bhatta, the son of Tapana Mishra, fell before the Lord, begging him not to go, and held his lotus feet, weeping again and again. The Lord took the boy upon his lap and gave him many reassurances, trying to console him. He said, "You must serve your father and mother here, and by, you may come to Puri Dham and see me again." Then, after first embracing Tapana Mishra and instructing the devotees there in certain truths of Krishna consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Kashi forever and began his long journey by foot to Jagannath Puri. Within a short time, Sri Raghunath became expert in Sanskrit grammar, rhetoric, and poetry. Gradually, he became highly learned in the revealed scriptures. He continued to serve his mother and father into their old age as the years passed. When he came of age, Raghunath was ordered by his father to go to Puri Dham to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath's ecstasy had no boundaries. Sri Raghunath Bhatta arrived in Jagannath Puri and offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, the Lord greeted him, saying, "Raghunath." He picked him up from the ground and embraced him. The Lord ordered Raghunath Bhatta to go see the deity of Lord Jagannath after bathing in the ocean. Raghunath went with the other devotees to the beach, where they all took bath in the ocean and then went to see Lord Jagannath. Afterwards, he returned to the Lord's place, and Mahaprabhu ordered his servant Govinda to give prasad to Raghunath Bhatta. The Lord took care to see Raghunatha's food and lodgings, and there Raghunath stayed. Raghunath would cook for the Lord on a regular basis. He stayed in Jagannath Puri for 8 months in the service of the Lord and thus experienced great happiness. He witnessed for himself the ecstatic singing and dancing of the Lord in various moods of divine ecstasy before the Radhayatra Ka of Lord Jagannath. After some time, Mahaprabhu ordered him to return to Kashi. He told Raghunatha to see to the service of his aging father and mother and explained to him that as they were Vaishnavas, they were not to be neglected. Raghunath Bhatta took this order of the Lord very seriously, and the Lord began to instruct him on many other points. He ordered Raghunatha not to marry and told him to study the Shastra. He told him that after some time, he should again return to Jagannath Puri to see the deity of Jagannath. With this, Mahaprabhu gave him a tulsi garland from his own neck. When he came to say goodbye, Raghunath Bhatta's heart ached. He fell at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, offering his prostrated obeisances. The Lord helped Raghunath to his feet and gave him a hearty embrace just as before. Bidding farewell to Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Raghunath Bhatta started on his way back to Kashi. Upon his return to Kashi, Raghunath Bhatta served his parents carefully and began studying the Srimad Bhagavatam in earnest. After some time, his mother and father passed away. Raghunatha, adhering strictly to the orders of Sri Chaitanya, had never married. Without any family responsibilities to burden him any longer, he went to Jagannath Puri to the lotus feet of the Lord. When the Lord again saw Raghunath after such a long time, he was very happy. Hearing of the passing away of Tapana Mishra and his devoted wife, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke of their great devotion at length and glorified them. Raghunath Bhatta was very happy to once again have the association of the Lord. He remained in Puri and served Mahaprabhu faithfully for another 8 months. One day, the Lord told him, "You must go to Vrindavan. You have much work to do there in Vrindavan. I must stay here in Puri, for I have been ordered by my mother to do so. As a result, I cannot finish the work I have to do in Vrindavan. It is up to you to help me finish my work there." Upon hearing these words from the Lord, Raghunath Bhatta was sorrowful at the prospect of having to leave him again. The Lord explained to him that in Vrindavan, he would meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. He was to study the Srimad Bhagavatam and related revealed scriptures under their guidance. On the Lord's order, Raghunath Bhatta prepared to leave for Vrindavan. He bid adieu to the Vaishnavas and fell before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the last time. When he finally arrived in Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were very happy to see him and affectionately embraced him. All the Goswamis who stayed in Vrindavan with them were overjoyed to see him. They all accepted him as their affectionate godbrother. Raghunath Bhatta was exceptionally blessed with humility and meekness. It is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raghunath Bhatta would recite Srimad Bhagavatam before Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And when doing so, he would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. By the Lord's mercy, he would be overcome by all the symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead: tears, choking of the voice, and trembling. Overwhelmed in this way, he would not be able to continue the reading. It is said that his voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's. And when reading the Bhagavatam, he would sing the verses in many different tunes or ragas. In this way, his readings were especially sweet to hear. Raghunath Bhatta was fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Gaura Govinda. Those lotus feet were his life and soul. After some time in Vrindavan, Raghunath Bhatta arranged for his disciples to construct a temple for Govinda. He prepared various ornaments for Govinda, including a flute and shark-shaped earrings. Raghunath Bhatta would neither hear nor speak about anything material. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. Regarding the spiritual position of Raghunath Bhatta, the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika states, "In the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna Raghunath, in the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna, Raghunath Bhatta was Sri Raga Manjari." Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was born in 1505 AD. He passed away from this earth and entered into the transcendental world in 1579. Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami ki. And today's verse in Bhagavatam very aptly puts this reading that we have just done in context. Especially in text 46, where we read the translation earlier. "In order to follow in his footsteps," whose footsteps? Prahlad Maharaja's footsteps. "Saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality." And we read in the purport where it says, In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways. Yet after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked. But he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. See the similarity? Pure devotees. See, Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagavat, Uttama Adhikari. Pure devotees, they're always seeing the soul of souls in every living entity, and that is the Paramatma. They see Krishna everywhere. And like that, we read, the Goswamis also emulated that. They were seeing Krishna everywhere. They were totally absorbed in just serving the Lord. Okay? They're compassionate for other living entities. Titikshava Karunika. Full of compassion. And Prabhupada was also displaying that kind of mood for all living entities. And in their presence, they are like magnets. They attract conditioned living entities to them, these pure devotees, these Uttama Adhikaris. And in their presence, one, just by their mere presence, would want to chant the holy name. They've got that much of potency. Just by seeing them, just by seeing, being in their presence, they are so attractive that we want to chant the holy name, we want to engage in devotional service, we want to serve them. And we see that we get so many sannyasis, maharajas coming to Melbourne. And they attract. They've just got this natural tendency to attract. That is the potency of being a pure devotee. Okay. And so we're almost reaching the end of chapter 14. So what have we actually covered so far in the whole chapter? Anyone remembers? How did it start? Actually, okay, chapter 12, we read the appearance of Lord Varaha. He made a very brief appearance and killed the demon who? Who did he kill? Hiranyaksha, and Lord Varaha returned to his abode. That was like a cameo appearance. He just quickly came, did his job, went back. Okay, and this chapter, it begins very interestingly with Vidura asking the question. Who is he asking the question to? He's asking Maitreya Muni. And Vidura and Maitreya Muni, as we know, are having this long conversation on the banks of Haridwar, on the banks of Ganges near Haridwar. So Vidura is asking the questions. He's the student, and Maitreya Muni is the Bhagavatam speaker reciting the Bhagavatam. So Vidura asks this question. What was the reason for Lord Varaha, Lord Bo, to actually kill the demon king? So it's a very inquisitive question. And we know there are four kinds of people who approach the Lord, or four kinds of people who just approach God. One is people who are in distress. Two, people who are seeking wealth. Three, people who are simply just seeking knowledge. And four, those who are inquisitive, truly inquisitive, to actually find out the true purpose of life. And here Vidura is teaching us as to how to approach the Bhagavatam. So he starts off by asking for our benefit, what is the reason for the fight? So similarly, we should be having this kind of mood in being inquisitive, in wanting to know more and more about what the Bhagavatam is containing. The Bhagavatam has got many, many pastimes. Many, many wonderful, amazing pastimes. Incredible pastimes. But the Bhagavatam is not here to entertain us. It is not a storybook. It is actually to attract us to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So like a lotus flower, where the lotus bud slowly opens up, it blossoms very slowly to reveal petal by petal the beauty of each petal. Each petal of the lotus flower is connected to the stem. Similarly, the Bhagavatam here is revealing bit by bit about various pastimes, various personalities, and all these pastimes, they are connected to Krishna. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. It all comes back to Krishna, who's standing there on the banks of the Yamuna with his flute in his threefold bended form of Shama Sundar. Right? So, that's the mood that we should approach the Bhagavatam. Not so much, oh, this pastime is very interesting. Oh, it's the mood of we've got to dive in. And here, especially in this chapter, we hear many, many personalities getting introduced. Exalted personalities. Lord Shiva is getting introduced. Lord Vishnu is further glorified. We get the two demons who are spoken of, especially Hiranyakashipu is getting introduced. But the demons, why do we say they're exalted personalities? We have to understand they fell from the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, they were devotees of the Lord. They were the gatekeepers at the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya. So very exalted indeed. And then we also hear towards the end of this chapter where another great personality is also getting introduced. Who is it? Prahlad Maharaj. Right? So, it is setting the stage, this chapter is setting the stage for these pastimes to reveal in the coming chapters in the rest of the Bhagavatam. Especially in 7th canto, we'll see the full glories of Prahlad Maharaj as to how he's so fixed in loving devotional service. Now, it says here in text 44, 45, where Kashyapa said, he told this to Diti, because of your lamentation, penitence and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu. So one of the sons, Prahlad. So who are the other sons of Hiranyakashipu? How many sons are there? Hiranyakashipu has four sons, correct? One is Prahlad, the others are Samlad, Anulad and Lad. And there's also another sister they've got, can't remember the name. You know the name? I think it's Shimika or something. Okay, so Vidura has just asked this interesting question to Maitreya Muni about the reason for Lord Varaha to kill the demon king. And Maitreya Muni begins the answer by starting with the pastime of Diti approaching Kashyapa in the evening for sexual pleasure. Why? She wanted to beget children, especially sons. Why? Because the other wives of Kashyapa Muni had children. How many wives he had? He had 13 wives. Okay, and one of the 13 is Diti. And there's also Aditi, one of the 13, who is actually the mother of all the demigods. So, Diti here is approaching Kashyapa Muni for sexual pleasure to beget children. But Kashyapa Muni says, now is not the time. It is not an auspicious time. Why does he say that? Because it's twilight, Sandhya. It is the time where Lord Shiva is riding on his carrier, Nandi. And Lord Shiva is followed by his companions, the ghostly companions at this time. And why are they following him? They are following him because they are in subtle bodies. They are following him to receive the boon, the benediction from Lord Shiva, that they can get a gross body. So at this time in twilight, if any sexual intercourse takes place, then these subtle bodies, these ghostly companions, are placed in the womb of the women who have sexual intercourse. It doesn't attract good souls. So Kashyapa Muni said, now is not the time. And interestingly, twilight, you see, Sandhya, it's neither here nor there. It's a period which is like a quite a strange time of the day, really. Like, the forbidden act of this sexual union takes place despite Kashyapa Muni saying, no, now is not the appropriate time. Because of Diti being overcome by lust, the forbidden act takes place at twilight. And interestingly, it is at twilight that Hiranyakashipu also got killed. Remember? Okay, Narasimhadev came at twilight and killed him at that time. So then this forbidden act takes place. After the act, Diti becomes very remorseful, very shameful. Then she approaches her husband and she is glorifying Lord Shiva, saying, I hope, I'm praying to him now, I've made a mistake. I hope he doesn't actually punish me. Okay, then she goes on to glorify Lord Shiva. This is where Lord Shiva is getting introduced in this chapter. Then Kashyapa breaks the bad news to her. He tells Diti, here's the bad news. Because of your polluted mind, because of the inappropriate time where our union took place, because of you not listening to my instructions, because of you neglecting the demigods, everything is inauspicious. And therefore, you are going to give birth to two very abominable sons. Absolutely abominable. Demons. They are going to kill innocent living entities. They are going to torture women. They are going to enrage great souls. And that's the result of our forbidden act at an inauspicious time. But here's the good news. The good news is they will be killed by the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself will descend and He will kill them. And we know then, as I said, chapter 12, one of the incarnations of the Lord who descended was Lord Varaha, who killed Hiranyaksha. And the Lord will descend again as Narasimhadev to kill Hiranyakashipu. Right? So then it brings us to the point where Kashyapa also says, one of the sons of your son, Prahlad, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. So, when we speak of Prahlad Maharaj, we always remember who? Narasimhadev. When we speak about Narasimhadev, we always remember who? That's why he says here, his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. Alright, and in order, we read the pastime just now, in order to follow his footsteps, saintly personalities would follow his character. Now, there are many lessons we can actually take from this chapter. One lesson that actually, when I was reading this, which came to, of course, many people can take many lessons from it, but just to share with you what my realizations are, one lesson which I took from this is, as long as we take birth in this material world, we are bound to make mistakes. Okay? As long as we take birth in this material world, we are bound to make mistakes. And one of the biggest mistakes that we did was to actually leave the spiritual world and take birth here in the material world. And the biggest mistake was, or is, having taken birth in the material world, to forget Krishna. So, we have to know that, okay, We have made a mistake. So just like Diti here, she is teaching us, yes, she made a mistake. She was overcome by lust. She wanted her sense gratification to be fulfilled at an inauspicious time. But she repented. As he says, as Kashyapa Muni here says, because of your lamentation, your penitence and proper deliberation, she repented. And when she repented, see how the Lord is actually rewarding her. He's saying, one of the sons of your son will be an approved devotee. So like that, we shouldn't despair that we are born in this material world. What we should actually do here now is we should also learn from our mistake that we have made. And what we should do is we should seek the mercy of the Lord. We have to approach the Lord and beg His forgiveness for what we have done by falling from the spiritual world. And we should cry out from the core of our heart to want to go back to Him. And when we cry from the core of our heart sincerely, the loving Father will definitely hear. And He will definitely show us mercy. He will engage us in devotional service. He will show us mercy. And when we receive the mercy, we should actually grab it with full-heartedness and devote ourselves seriously and sincerely to the devotional service, the opportunity that we have been given. Many, many lifetimes we have gone through, we have missed the opportunity to do devotional service. But somehow, in this lifetime, we have got this connection, we have got this opportunity to do devotional service. So we have to take it very seriously. We cannot take it for granted. We cannot take it very lightly. We cannot take it very cheaply. And in Gaura Lila, there's this pastime where this is highlighted. Mukunda Datta, one of Lord Chaitanya's close associates, beautiful singer, kirtan singer and all that. While he was following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, he was also going to other sampradayas and listening to their philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya told him, don't go. Because the other philosophies like Yoga Vashishta, they were teaching impersonalism. Lord Chaitanya said, don't go. He didn't listen. Mukunda Datta did not listen. He kept on going. He kept on going. He kept on going. Lord Chaitanya was merciful. Kept on saying, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Finally, Lord Chaitanya's mercy was tested. What did he do? I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you forever again. No mercy for you. This happened to Mukunda Datta. And then it hit home. It hit home to Mukunda Datta what he had done. He realized his mistake and he started coming back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. But Mahaprabhu had already dropped the axe. No, I don't want to see you. Okay, he was in lamentation, Mukunda Datta. He was trying to broker arrangements through other devotees. He was sending devotees to broker for him to approach Lord Chaitanya to allow him to come back. Lord Chaitanya, whenever a devotee approached Lord Chaitanya to talk about Mukunda Datta, the mere mention of his name, Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya would say, oh, stop, no, I don't want to hear. Okay. So this really, really hit Mukunda Datta very, very badly. So he's crying and he was lamenting. And people, devotees after devotees after devotees were coming to actually seek and plead from Lord Chaitanya to allow him back. Finally, Lord Chaitanya being so merciful, he said, tell him he will get to see me in 10 million births. 10 million births. That is as good as not getting to see the Lord. But the moment Mukunda Datta heard this, he was chanting, hari bol, chanting happily. People were wondering, what's wrong with him? The Lord just said, after 10 million births, that you're going to see him and here you're jumping for joy. Then Mukunda Datta actually revealed, at least after 10 million births, I will still reconnect with the Lord. I will not then be totally forgotten. That's the mood one has to actually take of, number one, not making the mistake, not taking the mercy for granted. So here in Melbourne, we're in a very, very, very auspicious temple. Amazing place. Okay. World-renowned in the ISKCON world. Okay. We are so fortunate to be here to receive the mercy of the Lord. Okay. Sometimes we got to ask ourselves, are we taking our mercy here for granted? We can't even walk through this door of the temple if the Lord doesn't sanction that. We can't even approach Prabhupada to glorify a pure devotee if the Lord doesn't sanction that. And when we approach the Lord Himself at this beautiful altar, we got to take our prayers to Him seriously. This whole temple is reservoir of spiritual energy. Everything here is so auspicious. It's charged, spiritually charged. Morning program, and then we take darshan of the Lord. And even the Charanamrita at the corner there, just one drop of the Charanamrita destroys millions of our sins. Do we know that? One drop. After hearing this, someone might just go and drink the whole bowl. I got that many sins, I have to drink the whole bowl. Tulsi Devi, right here in front of us. The mere aroma of tulsi leaves on the lotus feet of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha entered the nostrils of the four Kumaras and transformed them from impersonalists to personalists. The mere aroma. She's right in front of us here. Chanting in front of Tulsi Devi every day gives us crores of benefits. The chanting becomes that much more potent. So it is this kind of mercy that we are actually experiencing that we have got the opportunity to enjoy, to take advantage of. We got to actually really meditate as to whether we are truly taking this opportunity seriously. Then the other thing that struck me in this chapter was how to actually deal with our mind. See, a controlled mind is a friend of the devotee. An uncontrolled mind is an enemy of the devotee. We have got Hiranyakashipu, the demon who came and terrorized all living entities. We got Prahlad Maharaj, Uttama Adhikari, who came and actually liberated his father. In our mind, we have our own Hiranyakashipus. We have those little demons playing havoc in our mind. One minute we are Krishna conscious, the other minute we are like in Maya conscious. The mind is chanchala, it just doesn't stay still, all over. So difficult to control it. Lust, anger, greed, kama, krodh, lobh. These are the Hiranyakashipus in us, in our mind, residing deep in the recess of our minds. We need to put in the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj into our mind. We need to have these qualities of compassion for the living entities out there. We are receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. We now need to give this mercy. We need these kind of qualities in our mind first to be able to give out to the rest of the world. Because in our journey of developing Krishna consciousness or becoming devotees, we sometimes become critical about the outside world. I use the word within inverted commas, the word outside. We feel that we are insulated within ISKCON and we are critical about the world outside, thinking that, oh, it's also demoniac.
But we got to ask within ourselves, in our mind, we got demons. How to fight these demons? We got to bring in these qualities of Uttama Adhikaris. And how do we do that? To control the mind, we have to know first the position of the mind. In Bhagavad Gita 3.42, Prabhupada has written, how does the verse go? Indriyani parani ahur, indriye vya param manaha. Manasastu para buddhir, yo buddhihi parasastu sa. What does that mean? Line by line. Indriyani parani ahur. Our working senses are superior to our dull matter. Indriye vya param manaha. The mind is higher than the senses. Okay. Manasastu para buddhir. Intelligence is higher than the mind. Okay. Yo buddhir parasastu sa. The soul is higher than intelligence. So Prabhupada writes in that purport, he says, with intelligence, we got to understand the constitutional position of the soul in relation to Krishna, and using that intelligence, engage the mind and the senses in Krishna consciousness. And he says that would solve the whole problem. So, here, we know in Canto 7, Prahlad Maharaj would further elaborate about how to actually practice devotional service. The 9 processes of devotional service. And he says, devotional service has to start from a young age. These kids, they are Vaikuntha kids. In one sense, they are actually the same age as us. The only difference is we call them kids because the soul is in a small body. But if we start looking at the soul, Samapandita Darshana, if we look at the soul within every condition living in, we are all the same age. So Prahlad Maharaj says devotional service has to begin at a young age. Kamara Acharya Prajya. So we as family members, as temple community members, we have got a very heavy responsibility to actually share this mercy that we are so fortunate to receive. In fact, our life's motto should be give without remembering, receive without forgetting. Give without remembering. Give the mercy without remembering who you gave it to. Don't build this false ego saying that, oh, I introduced this person to Krishna consciousness. It was through my bhakti vriksha that this person became a devotee. Give that mercy from the heart without thinking that it is as though you are doing it. We are nothing. In the overall scheme of things, we are absolutely nothing. We are insignificant souls. So give the mercy without remembering and receive without forgetting. When we receive the mercy from devotees, from spiritual masters, never forget. Never forget how fortunate we are in this lifetime. Never forget the responsibility that we have to share this mercy. And never forget that it is only by Prabhupada's mercy that we have this opportunity today. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Always very, very uplifting lectures. Very good reminders. Particularly, you know, when the demons inside you start coming out, you need such lectures.
All glories to Prabhupada.
That's what I was going to discuss with you, Prabhu. Regarding, you know, it's before taking grammatical decisions, it's about developing grammatical qualities. And I am really struggling with that, Prabhu. Becoming peaceful.
One quality. Super clean. You have to be clean. Just clean. Everything you do, your personal, everything around you, your room, your bed, clean. Start there. You start there, that's it. You're a Brahmana.
Clean, clean, that's there. Cleanliness.
Cleanliness. Brahmana means cleanliness. You start there, then everything will fall into place. Clean your house, clean your very clean clothes. Okay? Keep your appearance clean. Okay? Whatever that you do,
pay your service, clean about to yourself, wherever you are.
Even if you're wiping the floor, do it clean, pakka clean. When you have that mood, then you naturally you develop grammatical qualities. You're already there.
Because at the moment I'm a lot in rajas, I want to get up to that
stuff. Yeah, we all are. All right?
I was about, I would have given the exam, I was about to give it about 6 months ago.
Do
but
it.
It's, I don't want to be hypocritical. Going worry. In there and then doing all.
No, do it first. You do the exam first.
No, but still,
then you will take step by step.
I did discuss because it's. I also want to consolidate the Gyastha course properly. But next year, Krishna willing, and your blessings to go.
Who am I?
That's what I was. If I go in and then make all this nonsense, I'll be hypocrisy.